Scripture reading for this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you all again and to see everybody. We've got a great number, and that's very exciting. It's a beautiful day out today. I may have mentioned this before, but I like, you know, rain and snow. Like, I like that kind of weather. But even for me, it was getting to be a little much for a while. It was gray for a long time. So to get some sunshine does feel good. This is the first Sunday that I've had the opportunity to preach here since we moved out. We were living with Kara and Alan for a long time. So if they seem more relaxed in the last couple weeks, that's why. They were so gracious and so hospitable. I took a new way over here. A lot of cornfields between here and Pataskala, I noticed this morning. But it's a pleasure to be here today, and I feel very blessed. This morning, I wanted to share a study with you about suffering. And it may not be something that we get excited to talk about, but I believe that when we bring things to God's Word, we will come away better because of it. And so my hope is that you will be edified and uplifted and encouraged, and your faith will be stronger having thought about some of these things. And it is something that causes a lot of turmoil, not just the suffering itself, but it's caused some people to even reject God, to lose their faith, to turn away. And so I think it's something, of course, that's serious and needs our consideration. And I realize that I'm speaking to believers, but there are people who used to be believers who have struggled with this issue. The idea that there is suffering, so is God unloving in that He wants us to endure suffering? Is He not powerful enough to stop it? These are things that have plagued some people to a massive degree. Skeptics have even argued that it's evidence, it's proof that God, the God that we worship, doesn't exist, because if He's all loving and all powerful, they reason there shouldn't be any human suffering. But people have combated that with the idea of free will. And that is one aspect of our suffering that we need to understand, is that for there to be free will, people make poor choices because of that, and that leads to a lot of our suffering. And ultimately, sin is the cause of suffering. Romans 5:12, Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." And because we live in that fallen world, a world where sin has entered in, and we have all sinned, we endure a certain amount of suffering while we're here. And that should be a reminder to us about the grave consequences of our sin, that death itself entered the world because of sin. In man's infancy, in the time we read about in the Old Testament, God showed us the dire consequences of sin, and that sin leads to death. And we have those examples. We have that teaching for us. And it's important that we understand how grave it is, because it is what can keep us separated from God in eternity. So we have brought, in a way, that suffering into the world. But even beyond that, there is still value in suffering. I want you to imagine if you could, you know, if you had children and you could give them the absolute best meal. You had the means, you had the ability, you had the opportunity to give them perfectly nutritious, the finest food, everything tasted great, every single meal for their entire life. Now, first thought, you would think, well, yeah, of course I would do that. I would want my children to have the best of things. I mean, that's a natural instinct. But what do you think would happen over time? I mean, we have a word for it. We call that being spoiled. And without any contrast, it would be impossible for that child to really appreciate those meals. Then imagine just one time you gave them a subpar meal. Just one time. And then they were able the rest of their lives to appreciate what they had. Think about how much more they would value that. How much more they would enjoy it. In a way, giving them that one subpar meal was a way to help them appreciate and to enjoy every meal that they would have afterward. So I think we as even parents with our children can see how learning to be grateful and learning to appreciate the things that we have is important. It gives joy to our children in doing that. And much more so, our Heavenly Father has allowed us to endure certain things for a purpose. There's a song we sometimes sing called No Tears in Heaven. And I believe in that, and I think it's true. But it actually says in Revelation 21:4 that He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And I don't want to draw too much of a distinction between the wording there. I don't know that it's extremely important. But it doesn't say there are no tears. It says that God will wipe away every tear. So whatever source of discontentment there could possibly be, God will take care of it. He will comfort us. He will give us whatever we need in order to make sure that we are not sad. He will wipe away our tears. If sin had never entered the world, we wouldn't see the suffering that we do now. As we get to heaven, and there is no sin, and there is no suffering. But I don't believe that every ounce of suffering that we endure here is a direct result, a specific result of somebody's sin. Now we could say broadly it is because through sin, death entered the world. But, for example, when Jesus was dealing with the death of Lazarus, he wept. But I don't believe that he had done something wrong in order to have that sorrow. When Jesus healed the blind man, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. And in a very real way, I believe that the same can apply to us. That whatever suffering or pain or trials we may have in life, Christ can be glorified through us. We can serve that purpose. The passage that was read for us earlier, 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. And I want you to really pay attention to this next phrase. Verse 17. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And I want to spend a moment thinking about verse 17, this light, momentary affliction. Is suffering beyond what we can bear? Is it beyond what we can endure in duration or intensity? Here, Paul writes that our affliction is light and it is momentary. So first I want to think about the duration of the suffering that we endure. I know this isn't going to be a perfect analogy because I don't believe that time exists in heaven, you know, beyond this life, the same way that we think about time here. But maybe it's just a way of kind of trying to wrap our minds around it. It's hard to think of an existence that is outside of time. And that just doesn't compute for me. But as much as we can understand it, keeping that in context, let's imagine you live to be 100 years old and your life is wrought with suffering. And it's 100 years of trials and difficulty and sorrow. If you're faithful and you get to heaven, and again, the best of our thinking is we can imagine that you spend 100 years in heaven. And you look back at that 100 years that you spent in life, it doesn't seem as long now that you've been in heaven for 100 years. Now imagine being in heaven for 1,000 years. And thinking back on your life, 1,000,000 years, 1,000,000,000,000 years, you know, that extension of time, it makes, by comparison, that time that we spend on this earth momentary, fleeting, like a vapor. I'm a math teacher, so I'm going to I'm going to insert just a little bit of math right here, but it won't be too heavy. I promise. But there's this concept in math where you're approaching a number. For example, approaching zero. And I'll read just like when you try to divide by zero, you do that on a calculator. It just flips out. It says impossible. It's, you know, it says undefined. You can't do that. So in math, and I'm going to read just a little, I did not write this part, this is a quote. If you are working in non-standard analysis, for a value to approach zero means it essentially becomes an infinitesimal. To illustrate this idea, we say an infinitesimal in non-standard analysis is a value which is so small that two real numbers who are an infinitesimal distance apart cannot be distinguished from each other. And I remember hearing that in school. I don't pretend to fully understand it, but it's just like you keep approaching something and it keeps getting, that distance between them keeps getting smaller and smaller forever, even though it's never actually zero. We say it approaches zero because the difference between it and zero is meaningless. And that came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Like, it's, we're in heaven for an eternity. This time that we spend in this life, whatever suffering we have to endure, it's like it's approaching zero. It keeps getting smaller and less significant the longer we're in heaven. And again, that's probably our weak minds trying to understand it. But I think that's what Paul means here when he said it's momentary. And James writes in chapter 4 and verse 14 of his epistle, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. We are taught that this life is momentary, it's fleeting, and the reason that we may not always appreciate that is because of our perspective. I mean, we're right here in the middle of it. Even in our own lives, we can look back at things that at the time, it felt like it took a long time, but now, with a larger perspective, we realize it flew by. I'll give you just one example. When we have two small kids, you've heard them this morning. when they were young, that time where they don't sleep through the night, and you have to keep getting up, boy, that felt like a long time when you're in it. But looking back, it was, just months. It wasn't that long. But when you're in it, it can feel that way. And I really believe that's what Scripture is trying to teach us about our lives. It can feel like, it's a lot to handle. But that's only because we have the perspective of people, of human beings who are in the middle of it. So now let's think about the severity of the trials and the suffering that we have to endure. I remember years ago, there was a debate that took place in Columbus about human suffering. And I can't even remember the two speakers that were involved, but it was about, the existence of God and how human suffering affects that. And the person who did not believe in God presented this evidence of this, these pictures of, horrible suffering that people have had to endure. And it does make an impact on you. And we do know that people suffer greatly in this life. But I would again just kind of try to point out that we need to again have perspective. Again, we're right in the middle of this life and this suffering that Paul calls light, momentary suffering. As I mentioned earlier, I have children, and they're young, and when a toy gets taken away, when they can't have another piece of chocolate, boom, it's horrible. They cry, they pout, they're disappointed. And from my perspective, I can look at that and say, that's not a big deal. That's nothing that's going to harm you. But to them, from their perspective, it is a big deal. And that's, from their experience, that's the worst thing that can happen to them. And I teach fourth grade again, so when things happen to them, it's a huge deal. And I looked at and say, like, man, that's nothing to be upset about. But that's from my perspective. That's from somebody who's lived and seen a lot more things than they have. What I'm trying to point out is that it is a big deal from their perspective. So again, try to, as much as we can, remove ourselves. Think about an eternal perspective. Think about somebody who's been in heaven and experienced being with God for thousands, millions of years. Looking back on what they had to endure in this life, but we look back on even our worst sufferings as being trivial. I mean, I can't answer that. I can only give you what God says about it. Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." And I don't say this to minimize our feelings when we suffer. Again, Jesus himself wept. It's not that, we should feel that we're wrong for being sorrowful. But I think God teaches us these things to give us the perspective that we need to endure it, to not let it harm our faith, but to let it strengthen our faith. Paul, who knew a thing or two about suffering, wrote in Philippians 1:18, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." When you consider the brevity of your life in the context of eternity, whatever we endure in this life, whatever we go through on earth is momentary. And Paul says, for me, to live, I live fully in service to Christ. And for me, to die is gain because I get to be with Him. Even our deaths, Paul says, it's just for our gain. It's for us to be at home with our Father. So we see that there is value in what we have to endure. And I say this to myself. It's not that I think we just, you know, flip a switch and we read that passage and now all of a sudden we have a perfect perspective on the things that we go through. That's not likely to happen in this life, but we can grow closer to that through prayer and through study and through the encouragement that we receive from each other. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read a couple of verses, beginning in verse 6. "In this you rejoice, though now for a little while," again we see that perspective of our life, "though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." The suffering that we endure is not in vain. It is building us up for a home in heaven. And I want to mention something that I saw in a movie. I think I've used Batman as a reference point before in a sermon. I'm going to kind of do that again. But there was a movie, and it was actually about the Flash. And the Flash, again, this seems silly to bring up, can run so fast that he can run back in time. And so he runs back in time and tries to, he wants to undo something terrible that happened to him. And Bruce Wayne, Batman, kind of gives him a little bit of, it was almost like a warning. Like, even if you can go back and undo things, like what you've gone through, it makes you who you are. And there's something really poignant about that. And in the course of the story, the Flash does try it. He goes back and he undoes that thing. And then he meets his future self who had not gone through that. And the future version of himself was very different. He was unserious. He wasn't motivated. He was immature. And I found that, just very interesting. Like, here was this person who was a hero and was dedicated and selfless. And if he hadn't had something bad happen to him, and I know this is fiction, but the story showed like he wasn't the same person. What he had gone through made him who he was. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, we can look back at maybe some things that have been difficult in our lives and realize that they've made you who you are. I'll just speak for myself. The hard things that I've had to endure, and I've been very blessed, don't get me wrong, but those things, I hold them very precious now. I wouldn't want to be the person who didn't have to go through those things. Whatever I am now, I'm appreciative that those things have molded me into something better than I was before. I truly do thank God for that. And we'll have one more passage.
Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Our hope comes from our character. Our character comes from endurance, and endurance from suffering. So Paul tells us to rejoice in our sufferings, because that's what produces who we are. The endurance, the character, and ultimately our hope. It's easy to read that passage. And really, relatively speaking, it's not that difficult to understand what Paul is writing. But living it and putting it into practice can sometimes be difficult for us. So we need to pray with each other, pray for each other, because God's desire is that we get to that place where we have as good a perspective as we can on this earth about our suffering, about our time here, this light momentary afflictions that we have to endure, and to remember that it is not worth comparing to the glory that we reveal to us. So if you are a Christian and something has caused you to stray and you want the prayers of the church, we stand ready to assist you. If you're not a Christian and you want that hope of eternity with our God and Creator, we stand ready to help you. If you'll come forward as together we stand and sing.